Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, the American human rights lawyer Nancy Hollander is known for taking on cases many others might avoid. Her clients include men accused of Islamic terrorism and the American soldier Chelsea Manning, jailed for her role in the WikiLeaks scandal. Well, one of her cases has now been turned into a Golden Globe winning movie starring Jodie Foster, who's looking fabulous on the cover of the Sunday Times culture section this morning. The Mauritanian tells the story of Mohamedou Oud Salahi, who was wrongly held for 14 years in the infamous Guantanamo Bay detention centre. Here's a clip from the film where Nancy, played by Jodie Foster, speaks to Mohamedou, played by Taha Rahim, in a Guantanamo cell room.
I'd like you to consider releasing your letters.
To a newspaper?
Maybe a book. People need to read your story for themselves. And it'll put pressure on the government to give us a court date.
I'm ready for that.
Would you like me to step outside?
Yeah. Keep going.
You don't want to pray?
Are you religious now? Why do you care?
I don't. I care about you.
What do you want me to sign, Nancy? Who am I suing today? God?
No one today.
Then why are you here?
No reason in particular. I just didn't want you to be alone.
And that's a clip from the Mauritanian. Nancy Hollander, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Listen, remind our listeners, if you don't mind, you know, what were the origins of the detention facility in Guantanamo Bay? It's central to this film, The Mauritanian.
Guantanamo started in 2002 under the Bush administration. They thought, the Bush administration, that they could just throw these prisoners into a place in Cuba where there'd be no lawyers, no rights, nothing would apply to them. They even said that the Geneva Conventions, which apply to everyone one way or another, didn't apply. So that's how it started.
You've been there yourself, Nancy. Describe, how does it look? How does it feel?
Well, it feels and looks almost identical to the movie. It's a horrible place. I hate going there. You land on the leeward side, which is called the lonely side because there's nothing over there. And then in the morning, you take a ferry across. This is what happens with the habeas lawyers, not the commission lawyers. You take the ferry across and you meet your escort and you get your badge and you go to the McDonald's or the Subway and get some breakfast for you and your client. And then you go to the prison and you meet with your client all day. Usually they make you break at lunch, but with Mohamedou, we generally had permission to go through lunch. And then at the end of the day, the escort picks you up and takes you back. That's what it's like. You fly down on Monday morning, fly back on Thursday or Friday. There's no interim airplanes.
So how did you come, Nancy, to represent Mohamedou Salahi, the Mauritanian man who gives his name to this film? How did you represent him?
I was interested in representing someone from Guantanamo, but the first person I had thought about representing didn't want counsel. So I really was just kind of waiting. And I received a message from a lawyer in France who had heard from a lawyer in Mauritania that the family was looking for their son and thought he might be in Guantanamo. And Emmanuel in France asked me if I could find out. We did find out and I agreed to represent him.
Astonishingly, he was detained there for 14 years without charge or trial. I mean, what was the allegation against him?
Well, it started with what was called the Millennium Plot. If you remember, there was a man named Rassam who drove across the border from Canada to the U.S. on December 1999 and had a lot of explosives that were intended allegedly for LAX airport, Los Angeles. And he had come from Montreal, where Mohamedou was at that time. So every Muslim in Montreal who prayed at this particular mosque was under suspicion. Then that didn't pan out. And then the government captured a man named Ramzi bin al-Sheba, who's now one of the 9/11 defendants in Guantanamo. And he allegedly, under torture, made a lot of statements implicating Mohamedou. So then they decided he was a recruiter for 9/11. Ultimately, that didn't pan out either. But that's how it started.
And explain to my listeners who haven't yet seen the film, which is a superb film, but what he had experienced in the years before you became aware of his case, the torture, what he went through, Nancy.
Well, the US government decided that it could do whatever it wanted to try to get statements from people. And of course, not only is torture immoral, it's illegal, and it doesn't work. But that didn't seem to stop them. They kept trying to get him to admit to anything they could. And finally, when they said they were to bring his mother and put her in Guantanamo, that was the end for him. After the brutal torture that he withstood, that he couldn't withstand. And so he agreed to say whatever they wanted, and they would feed him information. You planned to blow up the tower in Toronto. Yes. And who did you do it for? Al-Qaeda. He'd never been to Toronto. He didn't know anything about any tower in Toronto. No tower in Toronto was ever blown up, but they just kept asking him these questions, and he basically feeding him the answers. Finally, they learned that none of what he said could possibly be true.
Extraordinarily, he had been recording his experiences throughout, and I think you helped him in getting his Guantanamo diary published. But was his book and the various film projects, was it part of your campaign to get attention to his case?
Well, originally, I asked him to write down everything his interrogators had asked him. And I think he was a little angry at me. He said, you know, I was interrogated 18 hours a day for a couple of years. That's like asking Charlie Sheen how many girlfriends he has. Mohamedou is a funny guy, by the way. But he did start writing. And he very quickly realized that he was writing a book. And then he finished it. It took 6 months. He wrote it in 2005. But it took us another 6 years to get it out of the claws of the U.S. and then ultimately get it published. And it was published actually a year before he got out. At that time, we had no idea when he might get out. And we did hope that the book would help. I signed all these contracts, and I signed the contract for the film in 2015 also, and hoped that it would get out. It would help him get out, and the film would get made before he got out. He got out before the film was made, and now we're hoping this film will help get the other remaining 40 out.
And of course, your job as a lawyer is to represent, to protect the rights of your client, not necessarily to make a judgment of guilt or innocence. But did you believe that he was innocent once you began working on his case?
We learned it. Yes, we did learn it. We learned it when we were able to corroborate what he had told us. It took some time to corroborate everything, but you've got to remember that there were years when nothing was happening. We started representing him in 2005, and the government was not ordered by the Supreme Court to respond to the habeas petitions until 2008. But we did file, as it shows in the movie, we did file a Freedom of Information Act request. Through that, we got his medical records, which helped in a great deal because he said his ribs had been broken, and we found it in the medical records. And he said some other things that we found in the medical records. And then there was a Senate Armed Services Committee report that came out that discussed his torture. Not all of it, and some of it was redacted, but it was enough for us to know that he was telling the truth about that. And then the rest fell into line.
And of course, you're known for long representing on behalf of people denied their basic human rights. But is it risky for a lawyer? I mean, have you had the experience of being accused of being, say, soft on terror because of work with people accused of terrorism?
Well, I wrote an op-ed piece in 2010, which I titled "A Terrorist Lawyer and Proud of It." And I titled it that intentionally because I have, I've now been a lawyer for 42 years. That was, 10 years ago. But I've represented people accused of raping little babies. I was never accused of that. I've represented people accused of murder. Nobody thought I had ever murdered anyone. But when I started representing these people in these national security cases, all of a sudden, people like the Vice President, Dick Cheney, and others said, well, you must be soft on terrorism. And it really made me angry. So I wrote that op-ed piece, and I ended it by saying that if those people who were accusing me ever found themselves on the other side of the law, I hope there would still be lawyers available to represent them.
How is he today, Mohamedou? Nancy, you said earlier he's got a great sense of humour, but I'm conscious. How does a man survive, cope after 14 years of wrongful imprisonment and so many years of torture?
You know, Mohamedou is very smart. He's intuitive. He's empathetic. He's funny. But of course, he suffers, and he will continue to suffer some form of PTSD. We have a psychiatrist who actually worked on this case, Dr. Stephen Zanakis, a wonderful man, former retired brigadier general. And he went to see Mohamedou right after he got out at my request, because I wanted to have someone Mohamedou could talk to other than his lawyers. And Dr. Zanakis said that he won't be fully over this until he's been out as long as he was in. So we've got some years to go.
Do you believe your President Biden that he could close Guantanamo Bay tomorrow? Should he?
I believe that, well, certainly he should. I believe that if President Biden has the political will, he can close it. Six people there have been cleared for release. One of them, at least, cleared in 2009. But those people, they should get them out quickly. They're going to have to create a division in the State Department like they had before, and there's going to have to be work done. There's another 25 who are what the government calls forever prisoners. We don't have forever prisoners who've never been charged with a crime. They need to go. And then as for the remaining people, including my other client who's there, Ibrahim al-Nasri, who have been charged with crimes, they're entitled to all the due process and every right under the American justice system and the American Constitution to have legitimate trials or pleas or however they can resolve their cases. And we need to lock up Guantanamo and never open it again. It can be done. It takes work and political will.
We recently saw Jodie Foster win the Golden Globe for her performance as you in The Mauritanian. And apparently you're the first living person she has ever played. So how do you think she did?
Well, she did a great job. You know, Jodie, when I first, even though Jodie said she was meaner than I was, than I am. And I think she is meaner in the movie than I am. There are things that she does and says in the movie that I wouldn't say, although there are some things she says that are exactly my words, just right out of my mouth. But, you know, she's so good at this. She's been doing it for over 50 years since she was 3 years old. And she's a consummate actor and a lovely woman. And she did this movie because she cares about it. And she cares about Mohamedou, and she cares about closing Guantanamo.
I mean, similar to you, Nancy, I mean, you do these cases like the one you did for Salahi, you do it pro bono. So obviously you do it because you believe in it. In the film, a character describes you as a crusader who's been fighting the government since Vietnam. I mean, is that a fair characterization of you?
Yes, actually, I've been fighting the government since I was first arrested when I was 17 years old.
Okay.
Yes, I have been fighting the government, and it's what I do. I like to say that, you know, I've been fighting the government since I was 17, and now I even get paid for it sometimes. My other client, the ACLU, supports through the John Adams Project. And in Salahi, the ACLU, it's the American Civil Liberties Union, worked with us and were invaluable in this case in assisting me and my co-counsel, Terry Duncan, in this case.
Do you ever worry, and I kind of asked you this question before, though, that you end up defending people, Nancy, who may have committed terrible atrocities in their life?
Yes. It's not up to me to judge people. It's not up to me to worry about that. That's up to court or a jury. My job is to make sure that the government plays fair, to make sure that the government uses legitimate evidence, that the government doesn't torture people to get their statements or in any way use duress, that the government doesn't search illegally, that everything that the government does is fair. You know, when you're a defendant in a case and you're accused, it's probably the only time in your life anywhere that you're fighting your own government, and the government has awesome power. And each person who's in that position as an accused is entitled to have at least one person stand by them and be on that person's side. And that's what I believe is my job, to defend the rule of law and to protect it for all of us.
Was there any case, any moment when you doubted that, when you thought, I'm defending somebody here and I really, really wish I wasn't doing this?
No, there was no moment.
Well, Nancy, The Mauritanian, directed by Kevin MacDonald and starring Taher Rahim and Jodie Foster, it's going to stream on Amazon Prime from next Thursday, April the 1st. Nancy Hollander, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me this morning.
Thank you.
Take care.